up early like foggers.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com. And you can find me on Twitter, as always, at redrock_beeble. I hope you guys have liked the last five shows where we looked at the positional tiers, one for each position, with myself and Matt Smith going over those. If you haven't heard them, go back and listen to them. We're moving into a different portion of the off-season now, and what we're going to be starting to do over the next couple of weeks is looking at some mock drafts, some drafting strategies, drafting tips, which I know that you guys are going to love. In fact, Michael Bolton, he's sitting right here. He wants to know about it.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. So what we are doing in today's show is talking about auction drafts. Many of you have done auction drafts and I'm sure you swear by them. Many of you haven't. You don't either understand them. You don't want to do them. You haven't got enough people in your group of friends who want to try it. But I'm here to give you the lowdown on what an auction draft is, how it works, and why it is the best form of a fantasy draft that you can go ahead and do. So let's start. Why people don't do auctions. That's the number one thing. Familiarity. Snake drafts, people are used to them. That's how people are selected into every sport league. It's not a snake draft, it's a draft. One team picks, the next team picks. It's the NBA draft, it's the NFL draft, it's the AFL draft. That is how people are picked. You pick one, then the next person picks two, the next person picks three. It's the common way. It's the way that people have been brought up playing fantasy. It's the most simple way. That's what they're used to. People love doing what they're used to, loving what they're familiar with. Oh, that's what we've always done. You know, it works well. The draft's a fun night. It's totally understandable. That is why a lot of people don't want to switch. It's a big move to switch to an auction draft. It's a change in how you approach things. It's a change in how you prepare things. It's a change in everything you do about your fantasy draft. So that's familiarity. Time. You can bang out a snake draft in an hour, hour 10, 50 minutes if you want, if you're really going hard at it. You can bang them out real quick. Auction drafts, you can't. In fact, tomorrow's show, we're going to be doing a mock auction draft. And you're going to see, it's going to take 2 hours probably to get through that mock draft. It could take 2.5. It might be an hour 50. It's going to be a long ass show. So when you're getting ready for tomorrow's show, make sure you're all set up, got your candles lit, got yourself a glass of wine, bubbles in the bath, and get ready for a long ass show. Because we're going to be doing an auction mock draft tomorrow, where I'm going to go in and try and implement these strategies that I talk about in today's show, along with a whole bunch of Patreon supporters who you can join that, patreon.com/redrock_beeble to get access to join into these sort of things in the future. Time is a long investment. Getting everyone at the same time. I guess on Fantrax you can do slow auction drafts. They're not as good as a live auction draft. Getting everyone together for that amount of time to set it aside can be tough. And it's fear. It ties in with the first thing, familiarity. But people can be scared of what they don't know. It also separates people out. If you don't know what you're doing, you're cooked. You are going to get roasted. You are going to get killed if you have no idea what you're doing. In a snake draft, it comes to your pick. You might not know what you're doing, but you see there you have a pre-ranked list of players there. You go, well, if I take one of these four guys at the top, if I take the top guy there, maybe I won't do too badly. I can bluff my way through. In an auction draft, if you don't know what you're doing, forget it. It's over. It is a great way of differentiating skill. It's a great way for really, really good fantasy managers to just obliterate their opponents who aren't as good. It's a great differentiator in an auction draft, but that can also mean for the people who are a little bit nervous about it, who aren't quite up to date on their fantasy skills, people who maybe are new to this channel, it can be frightening to do. And if you are going to do it for the first time, you need to mock the shit out of auction drafts. You need to play the show that I'm doing tomorrow multiple times to get an understanding of the different nuances to it and how it all works in terms of an auction draft, because it's a very steep learning curve in an auction draft. It's not like a snake draft, again, where there's a list and you can just pick someone off, and while you'll probably lose if you do that, you won't be in as much of a position to be embarrassed as what you can be in an auction draft. It requires a lot more work and a lot more planning. Let's go on to the next bunch of things. So what is an auction draft? Yeah, how does it work? Many of you will know what it is, but basically what it is you go into a draft, everybody's team has fake money. $200 is the normal amount that the teams are given. You're given a $200 budget. Now, in the majority of leagues, after the auction's finished, that budget means nothing afterwards. It's finished. In certain keeper leagues, in dynasty formats, you can tie the auction price in to become the player's salary, which then might inflate, have contract years attached to it. It's a really good way of doing a dynasty league, is having those auction draft numbers become a salary that holds for the next 3-4 years, however you want to do it. But in redraft auction leagues, that bid means nothing. But everyone comes in with their $200 to begin the draft. That's how it is. So everyone comes in with $200. Then a player gets nominated, one player at a time. Let's say, for example, that it's LeBron.
LeBron James.
So you have your 12 blokes in the room. Everyone goes in order, like a snake draft, to nominate a player. I go first. I will nominate LeBron. And then everyone throws a bid out on him. That's as simple as it is. I throw $5 out there. John over here throws out $7. The next guy goes, well, I'm going hard. Here's $20 on LeBron. Steve-O over in the corner goes, screw you guys. Here's $50 on LeBron. Tom comes back, goes 51. John goes 52. And you bid, and there's a timer that counts down. You make a bid, 15 seconds for the next bid. You have the going once, going twice. If no one throws that bid in, you win him whatever that price is, that $51, $52, $60, whatever it is, on LeBron. And then the process continues again. The next player goes up, everyone else goes and bids. So the benefit of an auction draft is everybody has equal opportunity to get the players that they want. In a snake draft, if you're picking at pick 8, you're not getting James Harden. You are not getting Anthony Davis. You are not getting Giannis Antetokounmpo at pick 8. There is no, you're not doing it. You cannot do it. In an auction draft, you have the ability to do that. Now, if you want to spend up and go $85 on Giannis and someone else wants to do $86 and you go, no, I want Giannis, then you just put $87 on him and you can have him. It might have an impact on how you view the rest of your draft because you've spent too much money on a single player. But if you want to do that, you can go and do that. So that is the benefit of an auction. So that's how it works. It's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. A player goes out, you throw your bids in, timer's run down, going once, going twice. Hey, throw another bid in before it does. Timer resets to 15 seconds. Going once, going twice, going three times. Sold to Big Steve over in the corner, and he has got LeBron or Giannis on his team now. Let's go ahead. And then his $200 budget moves down by $80, and he's got $120 left while everyone else is sitting there with their $200 left. That's how an auction works. Pretty straightforward, I believe. If you've ever seen any sort of auction in any sort of situation, house auctions, whatever it is, that is how it works. Cattle auctions, you are buying stallions, you're breeding mares, whatever it is, that is how an auction works. So, what else do we need to know? You have to know your league. It's as simple as that. In an auction draft, you got to know your league. You have to know it in any format, but you have to know it in an auction draft. Is it a redraft league? Is it a dynasty league? A redraft league, for those of you, again, new to the channel, means that it's a league that lasts for one season. That is it. So every year, even if you come back with the same managers, you are just redrafting the whole league again. It's a one-year league. Dynasty, you're keeping your players. Keepers, you're keeping some of your players. And that has an impact because how much you're bidding on these guys, does it become their salary? How long does that last? How's your future salary cap implication begin? We're going to mainly be focusing on redraft here, where that auction bid means nothing after the draft is gone. Because it can change your strategy. In a redraft league, you want to use all 200 of your dollars. In a dynasty league, it might actually be prudent of you to spend 170, because then you've got $30 left of salary cap money that then you can use to take on bigger contracts in trades, grab assets, that sort of stuff. There's a little bit of difference in that sense, but we're going to focus mainly on the theory behind redraft auction leagues and spending that money. How many teams? Why is that important? Well, it's very important, and I'll tell you why. Because every team, we're going to use that number of $200 for every team. If you have 10 teams who have $200, that means overall there are $2,000 in an auction pool to be spent for 130 players. You have 12 teams out there, that's two extra teams with $200 each, so there's $2,400 to be spent. You have 14 teams, we've got $2,800 to be spent. And I think a good way of being able to explain the difference here between that is that you've got that money, but say you've got a league with a 12-team league, you've got that $2,000 out there, $2,400 out there for 12 teams, but you want to go to a 14-team league, but you still only want that 150 players rostered. So a 12-team league, 13-man rosters, 156 players rostered. Now you go, well, there's two extra mates that want to join in. Kev and his Mrs. Bianca, they want to come in. We're going to make it a 14-team league. They're coming in for the auction, right? So you do that. But you go, but oh, I don't want to get too deep. I don't want to be having to rely on Tony Snell on my fantasy team. So let's cut the rosters down. Let's do a 14-man league with 11 roster spots. That still gives us about that 150 players. In fact, I think it gives 154 players rostered. That's all fine. But in an auction, that's different. Because with your 12 teams, you've got $2,400 out there in the pool. In a 14-man league, you've got $2,800 out there, but the same amount of players to be drafted. So there's more money out there, so prices are going to be inflated. And you need to understand that. It's not just a simple thing. And if you're looking on the sites, on Yahoo, on ESPN, on CBS, on Fantrax or whatever, pay attention to what their recommended price number is and how it gets decided and what it's out there. Because it should change based on how the league is set up and how many teams are out there, because more money goes out into the pool. And that is important to really pay attention to. Now, over on Basketball Monster, you set all this up and we will give values for these guys and for their pricing according to that. Now, often in an auction, you'll see the back end of rosters. Normally, every team will look for whatever their bench is. They'll fill them with $1 players. So that's the absolute minimum that you spend in an auction is $1. So you throw it out there. No one's got money left. $1, I get the player. In general, you look at the bench of a team is filled with $1 players. And that's a setting you set over in Basketball Monster, because what that does is it means you're not spending $4 or $5 on those guys, is that you're throwing that money onto the top-end players. But invariably, the websites, the host sites, Yahoo's and ESPN's, and that, they inflate the prices of the top guys. So almost invariably, you will see the prices that we have valued for these players over on Basketball Monster, your Townses, your Davises, your Currys, they're about a $60 value player, whereas they're going for $75, $80 on these sites quite often. And often when you're in a live drafting environment, people will go, oh, and Giannis, $80. Whereas realistically, what he provides is probably a $60 to $65 player. Invariably, this is what happens. Your top 10 to 12 are overpriced players. Your next 50 players are significantly underpriced. And that's why, and we're going to talk about that later, it's important to know, you know, who's in your league. Are they savvy fantasy guys? Are they going to be drafting off big names? Because if they're drafting big names, your approach should change, because those prices are going to go up for those higher end guys. That is what you need to know. Who are you up against here? Are you up against people who are mainly people who look at big names? Are they looking more at stars and scrubs? Again, getting that money out of there in those big names can help you in later rounds. A lot of thought process needs to go behind it. A lot more psychology in an auction draft for fantasy leagues as well versus your regular snake draft. So, roster building. There are two main accepted ways of building a roster in an auction draft. There's stars and scrubs, and there's the balanced approach. Stars and scrubs means I go in and I get myself two, three top 15 players. I've seen people go in and try and grab the top two players, play $80 each for them. That's $160 of their $200 gone, and they fill out their last 11 roster spots with $40. So you get your two top three players, and then you fill out the rest with guys from $100 to $150 with, you know, seven or eight $1 players and a couple of $4 or $5 guys. That's your stars and scrubs. Your balanced approach is you go in and you look at everyone at $200, 13 players, you're looking at about $12 to $14 a player. That's sort of a range of a player. You get some at 20, some at 6, some at 7, but try and get majority of those guys in that area. You will have people give passionate arguments for both sides of it. In fact, you'll probably find more people give passionate arguments for stars and scrubs. And the reason that they give for that, and I say they because it's not me that's doing that, is they say, you can do that, you get your high-end guys, you need your studs to win fantasy, and you can find your other players off the waiver wire. And while that's true to an extent, in general, you are paying higher value for those top-end players than they are generally worth based on their overall production and their valuation. You are paying more for them. And in general, I don't want to pay more for something when I don't have to. That's all about the idea in snake drafts about getting value. Where can I get this guy at ADP and get him 20 spots later than his value versus where his ADP is? Like that's about getting value. If you're drafting two guys, if you're drafting Harden, who on Yahoo is at $76 average, and you're drafting Davis at $79, there's your budget gone. Whereas we project them to be worth $66 and $61. So it is a big amount there. And then you're stuck. The other issue, or there's multiple issues I have with this way to go. Now, if you're in an 8-team league, Stars and Scrubs is absolutely the way to go. In your 10-team league, I think Stars and Scrubs can work. Anything deeper than that, I'd rather go the other way. And I'll tell you why. Because in general, the nominations in an auction draft, the guys that go first are the top end guys. So in your first 12 nominations, you're going to get probably the top 10 guys out there. Someone will throw a wild card out there, and we'll talk more about nomination strategy later. But those guys gone. So if you've gone in and you get Davis, who's the first guy nominated, and Harden's the fourth guy nominated, then you've got $40 left and you have to wait around. So every other player that comes up, whoever it is, and you go, oh shit, look at this. This is a bargain. DeAndre Ayton, he's only at $20, but I've only got $40 left. I can't afford to spend $20. I spend $20, someone else comes in and goes $25, and then you're out. You're priced out. You cannot make moves for the rest of that draft. You're just really handicapped by what you've spent. You grab three top 15 guys, and you're basically left with ten roster spots left for like $15, and you cannot bid on anybody. So you are out for the rest of the auction, and even if a guy is going at a cheap price, you cannot take advantage of it. The other thing is, one of those guys gets injured. Davis goes down, he misses 2 weeks, you can't replace that production. You would then go from a team with three top 15 guys and 10 guys ranked between 80 and 120 to two top 15 guys and 11 guys ranked between 80 and 120. And you cannot make that up. An injury sinks you. You are overly reliant on these top two guys or top three guys, whoever you want to do it. And you can say, oh, I'll find a waiver wire guy. There's always someone that breaks out. And there is. You might not get that guy. There might be one or two of these players on the waiver wire who step up and provide that value. But in general, you can't replace those numbers. So what I like to do is I like the balanced approach. And if your league goes 14 teams or deeper, this is, I'm not going to say guaranteed, but if you're 14 teams or deeper, balanced is the way you win. You're in a 20-team auction, you will smash the shit out of everybody if you go balanced and they're all looking for those big-name players. You will win comfortably. What a balanced approach is means I generally will eschew all top 15, probably all top 20 guys unless someone's really coming in at a bargain. And then, based on a regular sort of snake draft ranking pattern, I'll try and get 11 players who rank between 20 and 60. That's my roster. 11 guys between 20 and 60, and then I'll leave myself at the end one or two $1 guys, maybe a $3 guy in there, who can be roster churn, who can be waived, who are my flyer type players, that when if I need to move on from someone, I can go and grab that waiver wire guy, churn over those last two to three roster spots, but have the core of my team be 10 blokes who are top 50 players without any top 15 guys. And it is achievable because when you go down, you see these guys, you know, someone like a Lauri Markkanen who on Yahoo is going at $19. We've got him priced as a $25 player. So there's value there. You get someone like a Tom Bryant who Yahoo's got him going at $13. We have him as a $23 player, getting that value. They're the sort of players that you fill your team with. If one of them gets hurt, it's easier to grab a waiver wire guy to come in and replace that level of production. Plus, you've got 9 other blokes who are in that same level, not 10 absolute shit kickers at the end of your roster to try and replace what Davis is doing. You've got someone else to cover. It insulates you a lot from the vagaries of the NBA schedule. Your stud plays 3 games versus the other team's 4. You're in trouble. Here, you really insulate yourself from a lot of problems. Injuries, poor form, bad schedules. That's the way I look at it. And in a deeper league, it is really the way to smash because people come out and then they have, because there's so much more money sitting out in a deeper league pool, we have 20 teams instead of 10 teams. It's $4,000 out there in the pool and they throw $120 on Harden, $110 on Giannis, and half their budget's gone in one player. And you come in and just swoop everybody else up. That is how you should be looking at it. That is my preferred way to do it. I will nearly always go with a balanced approach unless it is quite a shallow league. Let's move on. What else are we going to look at in auction drafts? Nomination strategy. This is something you do. It's not just I'll throw any player out. There is a strategy. And the number one thing to do is look at who overhyped players are. Who are big name players? Zion Williamson is number one of these guys. LeBron James, who's in your league? Have you got a whole bunch of Laker fans? Have you got a whole bunch of LeBron stans in your league? LeBron's good, but throw him out there. Because if they are Laker fans, if they are LeBron people, instead of spending the, I don't know what we've got LeBron valued at over here on our site, we've got him as like a $40 player. Yahoo's, he's going to get $62 on Yahoo. If there's a bunch of Laker fans, they might spend $70 just because they want to have LeBron. And if $70 goes on LeBron, it's not coming out of your pocket, it's going out of someone else's pocket. So that $2,400 player pool has just been reduced by $73. And that's what I mean by draining the pool. Getting big money out early. Throw out players that you don't want or that not in your strategy and get them off the board. Because the more money that goes off the board, the less money that other people have to outbid you when the player, the value player you want is there. Get the money out of the way. I don't think there's much point in throwing a $2 guy out early. Look, invariably, if you throw a $2 guy out early, there might be a little bit of a weird bidding war and he goes for $7, but it's not that impactful. Get your Hardens, get $80 out there. Davis, Towns, Curry, get them all out. Get those big money guys. Get the other people who you think might be overrated. Get LeBron out there. Get Zion out there if you think that's out there. Ben Simmons might go higher than you are anywhere close to willing to pay. Get those guys, the overhyped players. It's not as much of a problem this year. Look, in the past, you could really do it with Derrick Rose. You could do it with Kobe when he was at the end of his career. You could do it with Melo and get the money off the board and it would really work out well. It's not so much going to be the case this year, but there's still plenty of those guys out there. Get the money off the board. Drain the pool. Target your league mates. As I said, you got the Big Kev over here and he's got an irrational love for DeMar DeRozan. Throw DeRozan out there. Let's see if Kev goes 10 up on what his value should be. And again, that takes Kev's money away, it takes money out of the pool, and it doesn't hurt you. Be smart with who you're nominating. Big names out, high price guys out, target your league mates. Get them to take their money out so that they don't have the money to then come for your players. That is important to do. Let's go on to the next lot of stuff here. Bidding wars. This is important because bidding wars happen. Someone comes in there. Let's pick a player. Let's pick the... who are we going to pick here? Let's pick Mitch Robinson.
And Mitch Robinson says, I'll take it from here.
All right. So Mitch Robinson comes out there. He's got an ESPN projected number of $2 because, again, they don't know what they're doing. On Yahoo, he's projected at $32. We've got him projected at $23. All right. You say to yourself, I'm punting blocks. I don't want to deal with his free throw percentage in a roto league. You throw him out there, the price goes up. Someone throws $10 on him. Someone throws $15 on him. You go, well, he's sitting there at Yahoo at $32. What am I going to do here? You don't want him to go cheap because that means someone else is getting some value there. So you bid him up. I'll throw $16 on him. And the other goes, oh, okay, $17. And then get it into a more reasonable range. Don't go too hard because you'll get stuck with the guy that you don't want. But even if that happens, you just adjust your strategy and deal with it. But you throw him out there, you try and get that price up to a level where you feel comfortable with. Don't go right up to value because you might have the other person back out. Go a couple of dollars out and if ideally, get a third person into the bidding war and then you can drop your ass out of there and get them to fight amongst themselves. You want to encourage bidding wars on players that you don't want. If you get stuck with the player, that can be a problem. But as I said, you just can't try and adjust your strategy after that. Adjustment and preparation in an auction, but adjustment is absolutely key. You need to be able to think on the fly, because, mate, they move so, as much as I said, it takes 10 years to get through. They move quickly. Things change very quickly. You've got to make those adjustments. All right, so it's the last 2 points I've got here on the video, quick bidding and the clock wind down. So these are ways that you can go in and have different strategies in terms of your bidding. Someone goes out there and throws De'Aaron Fox and he's sitting there at $20. So you bid 21, that guy comes in 22, and as soon as he hits 22, you hit 23. And that gives us, again, it's psychology. The other person goes, oh shit, he really wants Fox. He's straight on. He didn't even think twice about it. He bid. Now that can have two effects. The other guy goes, I'm going to bid him up or I'm going to back out because I know this guy's going to take it. Why waste my time? So that's the quick bidding strategy. Really put the pressure on. The other thing you can do is you can really sort of debate it. Even though you know you want the guy, you let it go. Count going once, going twice. Oh yeah, I'll throw a bid in. And they go, oh, I've got this guy. Oh, I've got this guy. I'll throw one more out there. And then you do it again. And it can really play mind games with them. She's just throwing these different strategies. The quick bidding, the slow bidding, the other one, the go hard or go home. Someone's out there, De'Aaron Fox, $9, $10. And you come in and go, you know what? I'm not even going to push the bid up $1, $30. Bang. Guys, Yeah, eat it. What are you going to do? Are you going to come at me? I'm taking him. And a lot of the times they'll just go, well, that's enough for me. And even though that might still come in under your overall valuation of Fox, but it's a good way to just piss people off. If you get them out, not piss them off and annoy them, but just get them out of the bidding discussion. Like, oh, $20 up, I'm out. I don't want anything to do with it at that price, because your valuation might be different to what they're looking at. Let's look at some other strategies. Late draft strategy. As I said, you're going to have your $1 players. I like to have a little bit of extra money at the end of the draft, because if someone comes out and everyone else can only bid $1 because they've got $10, or say they've got $5 left in 5 roster spots, I've got $7 left in 3 roster spots. If they throw a guy out there that I like for $1, so let's go through and have a look who's a $1 guy that I like. Gary Harris for the Denver Nuggets.
Nice, Gary!
ESPN's got him listed as a $1 player, and someone throws him out as a $1 player, I'm the only other person with money back, so all I have to do is bid $2 and he's mine, because no one else can outbid me. So I like having that little bit of extra money left at the end, just so if there is someone out there who I really want as my cheap player. Caris LeVert projected at $1 on ESPN. Again, ludicrous. $4 on Yahoo. But you can look at, say, a Dwight Powell, who's a $1 Yahoo guy. Zach Collins is a $1 Yahoo player. Tomas Satoransky is a $1 Yahoo player. Someone throws him out hoping to slide him through for a dollar. I'll take the two. Thank you, because we have him projected to be a $5 player. So it's still a pretty good value deal to get that sort of a player at that sort of a price. So knowing at the end, if everyone's only got $1 per slot left, it just turns into a snake draft. And that can really hamper those guys you're trying to get. So having a little bit of extra money left over to throw that double bid on, to put $2 on, in the end, if you pay a dollar for a player or $2 for a player, it doesn't really matter in the scheme of things. But what's important is that you get the guy that you want. And the way to do that is by just having that extra dollar at the end of your draft. And then the next thing we're going to talk about is the other things you need to do here. Now, leaving cash on the table in a redraft league is not ideal. I don't actually care if you've got $2 or $3 left, or even $5 left. You don't want to come out of an auction because you've gone with a balanced approach, and then at the end, you've got $50 left, and you're throwing $50 onto Dario Saric. That's a bad allotment of resources. You need to do your research. Have a look. Again, Basketball Monster really helps with this. Look, and if your site's not a standard sort of a site or a standard league, more players, deeper rosters, it changes the calculus. And when you go into Yahoo or ESPN, it will make adjustments to those projected prices. Because like it or not everyone is going to be or going to have their own valuations for players. They'll see a player come up and it will come up on the screen and go, Yahoo, recommended price, $50. And they'll use that as a balance. So if he's sitting at 40, they go, oh, it says he's 50. I've got to bid up to 50. So you've got to know where the other people who may not be as switched on as you are valuing these guys. So you've got to know that. What I will like to do often is I like to go in and see where the values sit. See which players I value significantly more than the host site values. How can I fit them all into a roster that makes sense? Also, when you're in a head-to-head league in an auction and you're punting categories, it can change the value and it can provide you $10, $15, $20 extra value for that particular player and really help to build it up. So research, which players can you get? Who is underpriced? Who can you realistically get to fill out a 13-man roster? The way I like to do it, you got $200. I like to plan my roster out. Almost like a tree type diagram of I can get this guy, and then if I get him, I go in this path. If I get him, I go in this path, and the prices. But I don't spend my $200. I like to try and build a roster for $190 before we get into the draft, because that gives me $10 of leeway. So if someone comes in and I want Miles Bridges and I've got him budgeted here, Yahoo's got his average dollars at $4. I've got him valued as a $14 player. Right, but someone else has a good idea and thinks they want him, and he ends up going for $8. You know, if I've built him in at $4 in my roster and I've spent $200 in total, I'm in trouble. But if I have to go $4, $5 ahead and get him for $9, he's still coming in under where I value him at that $14, but still enabling me to fit him in the roster. So every time I make a selection in a draft, what I like to do is have that 190 there with a plus minus of 10. So anytime I bid someone over what the projected number I had there was for them, yeah, you know, if he goes $5 over, so now I've got $5 leeway. So can I catch that $5 up somewhere else? I had DeMar DeRozan. Let's not use him. Let's use Jamal Murray. He's got a Yahoo at 11, and somehow I snuck him through for $7. So I get $4 back. So now I'm a plus $9 in my value. That's the way that I like to look at preparing. is getting these guys out. And ideally, especially in a punt head-to-head situation, you want your roster to look at, you've spent close to your $200, $198, but your overall value from your team is $280. It's $290. It's $300. If you've got a $300 valued team that you auctioned and got for $200, then you're in a really good spot to win the league. So that's the way you should be looking. Where can I extract those extra $3-$4 worth of value per player? Maybe it's $250 of value you want to get, because it is a little bit tighter this year with some of these guys. Their extra value is not as prevalent. But again, if you get Miles Bridges for $4 and we've got him as a $14 player, there's $10 of value. You've got Lonzo Ball projected at $9 and we've got him a $19 player, there's $10 of value. You got Chris Middleton, who you can get an extra couple of dollars. You've got Malcolm Brogdon, who is going undervalued at $10 on Yahoo. There's an extra $8 of value. This is what I mean by the balanced approach. You get Lonzo, you get Brogo, you get Triple J, who I think is coming undervalued. You get some of these mid-round guys, and you can build a roster that's worth $260, worth $270. And that, I think, overall gives you a ton of value, a ton of flexibility, a ton of ability to change what you're doing during the season and still leaving those positions for streaming, as I mentioned here. Do your mocks. Watch the video tomorrow. Leave yourself that $1 or $2 player at the end of the roster, because you're still going to need to stream during the season. Don't go 2-6. Some people will be like, I need four $1 players because I need to stream like hell. You know what? The first week of the fantasy season, in general, I end up losing often in that first week, because I'm just waiting things out. Wacky results happen. I'm not making panic moves. I'm not streaming the shit out of that week, because I'll end up dropping someone that I shouldn't drop, like people dropped Trae Young in the first 2 weeks of last season, because they panic drop. If someone makes that move, then you make the move and grab that player and add them to your team. But you'll see things start to balance out after that first couple of weeks, and having those couple of streaming spots will be important during the week. Most leagues will have transaction limits during the week as well. They might have games played limits. So having four streaming spots is pretty pointless in most situations. Two is plenty. One is probably sufficient enough, especially if you've got a four acquisition limit. One streaming spot is really all you need. And that might even open up further when a guy goes on to injured reserve. All right, so they are my tips for auction drafts. Tomorrow, check it out as we do a full auction draft, and you get to see me get pissed off with people making bids. You get to see some of my strategy. I don't know exactly what strategy I'm going to be building. I'll try and work that. I'm not going to give it away for the people who are in the draft. We'll see how we go, and we'll see how I go ahead. Now, I'm not going to be perfect at doing this draft, but it's more about me giving you thoughts on these players and seeing the process behind how I go through and build these guys up and where the value is in this draft tomorrow. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble and on Instagram, LockedOnFantasyBasketball. Subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and on YouTube, of course. Give it a thumbs up, leave a comment, hit that subscribe button down below. And of course, Patreon.com/RedRock_Beeble, where you can find all the great perks, monthly newsletters, bi-monthly newsletters, bi-weekly pre-game shows during the season, and also a new perk for the Good Bloke tier that I have introduced. If you want me to do an intro video and a video roasting your league mates, a short little video, hey, if you're a good bloke, then I will do a video there for you calling out whoever the shit blokes are in your league. I'll do that for you. If that's what you want, just tell me what I'm going to say, and I'll do a short video for you. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Prince.